Welcome to the Newsbusters podcast with your host, executive editor of Newsbusters, Tim Graham.
Hello and welcome to the festival of liberal propaganda and dastardly omission we call the Newsbusters podcast. There are stories the liberal media don't want to cover, and there are messages the liberal social media want to censor. So make sure to check out the latest study from our Free Speech America project. Social media companies overwhelmingly censored Republican members of Congress by a rate of 54-1 compared to congressional Democrats. It's shocking, and yet it's not shocking, but we can guarantee this is the real deal. Our top story is this, a story the social media will be pressured to censor. The Daily Wire broke it, Fox News went wide with it, and Nick Fondacaro reported the liberal networks did nothing. As the school board in Loudoun County, Virginia, near to us here in the suburbs, sought to push a controversial transgender policy, you know, the diversity and inclusion cops, when what they needed were some actual cops, the county concealed that a ninth grade girl was allegedly raped in a school bathroom just weeks before by a so-called gender fluid student wearing a skirt. Now, this is the dictionary definition of a story that any liberal media outlet would want to spike, censor, ignore, squelch, and bury 6 feet underground. It's a vivid illustration of what liberals consider a false stereotype. They assume automatically, ideologically, that it could never happen that a sexual predator would proclaim himself gender fluid and enter a bathroom or a locker room to commit a sex crime. It might be rare, but it's also real. The Washington Post isn't finding this story, and yet back in August, the Post quoted Loudoun County School Board member Ian Sorotkin, one of the libs, telling the conservatives they weren't against bullying. You seem to imply that bullying and harassment of our LGBTQ students is a thing of the past. I don't know how you can say that with a straight face. I'm sorry. Now, we understand that when you're Ian Sorotkin and the rest of the liberals, that it's considered bullying to not conform to the pronouns selected by the gender nonconforming. You can't call Dave Dave anymore. It's Denise. Bully. It's considered insensitive to not bow to their every sensitivity. But how can these people, who are so hypersensitive, be insensitive to an allegation of rape? Now, many on conservative Twitter took after Brian Stelter's Sunday rant that conservative media, like his enemy, Fox News, only does repeating and not reporting. Well, this is conservative reporting. And CNN and Stelter's ilk won't be doing any repeating. Luke Rosiak of The Daily Wire laid it out on Tucker Carlson Tonight.
Yes, this story is one of the most disturbing I've ever worked on. It raises the possibility that the Loudoun County Public Schools covered up the rape of a 14-year-old girl at the hands of a boy wearing a skirt in order to pass a school policy that Democrats were adamant about passing. And as a result of concealing that, a second girl was raped last week. And to prevent all of this from coming out, potentially, they arrested the father of the victim, tried to put him in jail. And he's now the face of domestic terrorism listed individually by the National School Boards Association, all for coming to that meeting. He didn't come to that meeting because he's a bigot. A lot of people thought they knew that guy. They trotted out his picture, his embarrassing picture with his belly hanging out and his bloody face. They all thought they knew him. They knew nothing about him. This was a caring father who was involved because of something very personal that happened to his daughter. And if they would have shut up and listened to him for 30 seconds, they would have been heartbroken. Instead, they demeaned him, they arrested him, and tried to put him in jail.
That is something. Well, later in the evening, the father of the victim of the alleged victim, Scott Smith, appeared with Laura Ingraham on the Ingraham Angle.
This has been a crazy 3 months, but Basically, my daughter was sexually assaulted at the end of school in May of last year. And, you know, I went to the school board meeting, you know, to see what was going on because I had seen all this crazy stuff on TV. And I went to see what was going on after my daughter had been assaulted. And, you know, there was some crazy stuff being talked about, you know, people for things, for against things. I wasn't there for any, you know, I'm good with gay people, cross-gender people, everybody. Anybody who wants to be a good American, I'm good with. I went there to find out why our children weren't safe. We were under the impression from the prosecutor that this sexual predator was being held on in-house arrest with an ankle monitor and would not return to school until these court sessions were done. That if I wanted justice for my daughter, that I needed to keep my mouth quiet and not speak out, because in order to get justice for my daughter, which is the most important thing to me, of course, was to not come out and let justice prevail. That's really scary, you know, that our government is going to weaponize themselves against parents, and they're using my video across the nation to spread fear. That's wrong. I'm not a bully. I'm not a racist. I love everyone. I love this country.
All right,
and
Scott,
I want better stuff for it.
These are voices that the liberal media don't want you to hear. Smith's attorney, Elizabeth Lancaster, told the Daily Wire that a boy has been charged with 2 counts of forcible sodomy, 1 count of anal sodomy, and 1 count of forcible fellatio. This is not calling Dave Denise. This is something that you would think that any parent would want a journalist to take seriously. It doesn't mean that the accused is automatically guilty. It just means that there is a serious crime alleged. And yet, with Scott Smith, he was just sort of an object of either ridicule or derision. The National School Boards Association used a local NBC report on a recent Loudoun school board meeting that showed Smith seated on the grass outside the meeting. He's being held by police with handcuffs behind his back. There was no context from NBC on why Smith would be disruptive. People were not made aware of what his family was going through. They were not made aware that a left-wing activist at the meeting said to Smith she didn't believe his daughter was assaulted, like it was fake news. He didn't take that well, and so he ended up on the lawn, on his butt. This was then used to drive that Merrick Garland narrative of those disruptive parents at school board meetings as incoming domestic terrorists. This is not a story that the networks are interested in. They want to present the Biden administration as doing everything right. They want to present the Justice Administration of pursuing justice. But are they really pursuing justice in Loudoun County? But as we know, the national media is very selective in covering local crimes. If you're an abortionist like Kermit Gosnell and you slash babies' necks, you know, and women die in your clinic, it's not national news. Oh, that's a local Philadelphia story. This is not the way it happened, obviously, with George Floyd. It's not the way it happened in Ferguson and in Baltimore and other places where they made a huge deal out of police brutality against black men. It was not as big a deal when the people behind Black Lives Matter held protests that then ended up in 5 cops being shot in Dallas. That was, well, we'll do that story and move on. The general whole practice of policemen dying in the line of duty, whether by shooting, whether by being hit by cars, These are stories they don't want to do. So local crime, local news is one of those areas where you can expect a maximum amount of narrative management. And the idea that this became a Fox News story means that's what the rest of the media say to themselves. Oh, that's a Fox News story. And you have Brian Stelter trying to say that the conservative media don't do any reporting. That's their way of saying don't pay any attention when they do actual reporting, because the reporting, it's so troublesome. It's not helpful. This is why people don't trust the media, because our media today is not an objective set of referees. They're narrators of a narrative. Things that don't match the narrative don't make the news. We are here in the Biden administration in a Democrat House and Senate to tell you there's a whole set of stories they're just simply not going to do because they're not helpful. Now, please check out the latest numbers by Jeff Dickens, our director of media analysis. In the last few weeks, in all the budget/infrastructure stories on the evening news, the partisan slant is really eye-opening. The soundbite count is just amazing. The Senate's divided 50-50, and the House has a weensy-thin majority. But on TV, the evening newscast gave 115 soundbites to the Democrats and 115 to the... No, they didn't. They didn't balance this out. They gave 115 soundbites to the Democrats, 16 to the Republicans. Now, that's one really obvious way of slanting your news product. Viewers of these programs were 7 times more likely to hear from hardcore big-spending Democrat socialists like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Pramila Jayapal, not to mention Bernie Sanders, than they were going to hear from Republicans. You get a little bit of Mitch McConnell or the House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy. My latest column's related to that. The Democrats are taking comfort in polls that show their massive spending bills are approved in when people are asked about them, even as Biden's approval ratings slide. For example, a few weeks ago, Fox News asked this question: do you favor or oppose the bill being considered by the U.S. House that would allocate an additional $3.5 trillion toward infrastructure, including spending to address climate change, health care, and child care? Now, what do you expect most people are going to say when they hear a question like that? They're especially going to hear the words at the end. Most Americans don't want to be seen as crabby people opposing happy-sounding things. Well, I'm for health care. I'm pro-child care. I'm for the planet not going up in a blaze. So it was 56% yes to the massive spending bill and 39% no. So conservatives, fiscal conservatives, have to be aware that just the way that these things are constructed, that's the way it's going to happen. Now, if you did a poll and asked for a massive tax cut, would you like a tax cut? People are going to say yes to that too. But that's just the way it is. You can't really run the federal budget by poll, because the national debt would be enormous. Vice President Kamala Harris has a new embarrassment. She hired child actors to play the role of kids interested in going to space and having careers in the sciences for a YouTube video. Funnier yet, these kids auditioned and were hired through a company called Sinking Ship Entertainment. The UK-based tab The Daily Mail was one of the outlets that had this story on Monday, but of course, the networks weren't interested. Instead, ABC, CBS, and NBC were all busy gushing about how Paul McCartney was blaming John Lennon for breaking up the Beatles. Now, how do you define that as breaking news? Breaking news tonight from 1969. Apparently, Paul McCartney's been upset for 50 years that people blamed him for breaking up the Beatles when it was really John and Yoko. Most fans had that figured out. John and Yoko wanted to hang out in bags so that people wouldn't be judged by their appearance. They wanted to lay around in a hotel bed for a week for peace. And this is what McCartney said. The point of it really was John was making a new life with Yoko and he wanted to go in a bag. And he wanted to lie in a bed for a week in Amsterdam for peace. You couldn't argue with that. You couldn't? I mean, he's a really rich guy. He can do what he wants. I guess that's the argument. But you could certainly argue that he sounds a little silly. You can't really cry. They both did very well afterwards. Both had successful solo careers. I root for McCartney. He's one of my favorites. I have later albums. He's worth hearing from. Apparently, he's doing a lot of more stuff. We'll never stop listening to what he's got to say next. But the idea that we're not going to do stories that make Kamala Harris look bad, yeah, that's what happens. And then when you say she's invisible, the fact checkers leap in and say, that's not true. She is visible. You can actually see her in photographs. There's a hot clip of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi snapping back at CBS reporter Nicole Killian. This is weird, okay? Because Killian is what we would call a friendly. She is not some Fox News hound making Pelosi's life difficult. She's not throwing hardballs like our CNS news interns. She's not being asked how terrible a Catholic she is. It went like this.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Our latest CBS News poll shows that only about 10% of Americans describe themselves as knowing a lot of specific things that are in the reconciliation package and that the majority don't know anything at all. So do you think you need to do a better job at messaging and going forward, how do you sell this if ultimately you have to...
Well, I think you all could do a better job of selling it, to be very frank with you.
See, Nancy knows she's standing in front of a press corps full of Dems. Like, this is what the good of the party demands. Each and every one of you, your job is sales. It's not news, it's sales. It's your job to help us sell our legislation. Now, the unfair accusation here is that somehow Pelosi thinks that they've reported anything other than favorable things about these bills. They like to use, vague, nice-sounding words like, they're expanding the social safety net. It's a new war on poverty. And they do, on occasion, explain what's in it, like you would see in these polls. It's for climate change, and it's for dental coverage under Medicare, and they throw those things out. So the idea that Nicole Killian or CBS hasn't adequately done a sales job for Nancy is really kind of a bad rap. She's just upset that somehow she can't hold these Democrats together and make them pass this, that they've got Joe Manchin or Kyrsten Sinema gumming up the works. Now, if the CBS reporter wanted to make life difficult for Nancy Pelosi, then you ask a different question. It's not even a conservative question. You could simply ask, Joe Biden ran saying that he was going to unite the country, but he doesn't seem to be able to unite the Democrats. And like that, you could say, now, Speaker Pelosi, you've been hailed as a master tactician, but somehow you masters of tactics haven't quite gotten this put through. Now, those are oppositional questions, but they're not necessarily conservative questions. They could be seen as angry Democrat questions. And I think they all have flop sweat. They all think they need these bills to pass to win in the midterms. They certainly don't seem to think that that there's the possibility that they'll pass and be unpopular. They don't anticipate that at all, because a Democrat always presumes that the more goodies you hand out, the more popular you'll be. And then they can't understand why the Republicans would be against the Democrats handing out goodies and saying it was all their doing. And then finally, Greta Thunberg, everybody's idea of a happening fun chick. Yeah, she's being hailed by Al Roker again as the face of the climate movement. It's an angry, scowly, crabby face, but what a face. Roker even fondly recalled Thunberg's melodramatic meltdown in front of the United Nations in 2019. He called it one of the most memorable speeches in UN history. Yes, never mind Winston Churchill. We've got the 17-year-old kid yelling, "How dare you? You stole my childhood." Look, if you wanted your childhood, Greta, go back to Sweden and go to the prom. Don't give us this "you stole my childhood" garbage. Your child was right there and you kicked it to the street curb there. After playing a soundbite of Greta bitterly mocking world leaders for making blah, blah, blah statements about abating climate change, Roker went on with more sales job. Thunberg's Fridays for Future marches resumed last month and are gaining momentum ahead of the United Nations Climate Change Conference later this month. This is not news, people. This is what's called publicity. Greta Thunberg ought to be taking out the Swedish version of Visa and paying Al Roker so he can pay for another 20 sets of multicolored spectacles. And of course, for this kind of so-called journalism, Al Roker's won an award. The Cronkite Award, handed out by Arizona State University. We'd like to think that Al Roker won this award by running after Joe Biden and demanding he hug him. But the Cronkite Award people said, Al Roker has long been a trusted and treasured voice in homes all across America. His integrity and commitment to honesty and fairness are the very values that guided the career of our school's namesake, Walter Cronkite. Well, let's be honest. We all understand that Walter Cronkite would have given Al Roker this award. And their idea of honesty and fairness is to always be honest about how fantastic liberalism is and how conservatism has nothing to offer. So for that, it makes total sense that Roker would earn the Cronkite Award. But we always say, Walter Cronkite was a big liberal hack. Always remember that. Never let them tell you Walter Cronkite or Edward R. Murrow are anybody's role models unless you're a liberal hack. If that's your goal, then maybe that'll work. If you want to talk about what hacks the liberal hacks are, that's why you come to Newsbusters. Once, twice, 24 times a day, 187 times a week. Whatever works. Thank you for tuning in.